In today's Mishnah, we're on the 7th and 8th Mishnah from the 26th Perek Masech Kehilim. The Mishnah begins, Kol makom sheyesh chisaron malacha. Anytime a kli, a vessel, is ready for use, there's no extra process that needs to be applied to it to make it fit for purpose, then we say, machshava matamatan, if an individual says, look, I would like to use this for this particular purpose, that would make it automatically susceptible to tumah. However, kol makom sheyesh chisaron malacha, anytime that a kli is close to finish, but not yet complete, despite the fact that an individual says, look, I want to use this form, this object, for this particular purpose, it would not yet make acceptable to tumah until the kli has been finished, until the vessel has been completed. The exception to that is ela ha'utzpa. The utzpa is a fur skin. Now, fur skin, here we're referring to, has pieces sticking out the end. It has not yet been trimmed off neatly. The edges are not straight. So why is the utzpa machshava alone would make acceptable to tumah? That is because this utzpa was generally used to cover saddles. Another standing is like the cover seat of a wagon. And they usually wouldn't care to trim off those little pieces sticking out. And therefore, since it were used in what appears to be an unfinished state, then machshava alone would make it susceptible to tumah. Let's learn now Mishnechet. Orot balabatim machshava matamatan. So we're dealing with the hides of a bal habayit, so meaning it's the hide of a homeowner that doesn't sell these hides. Then the machshava alone would make it susceptible to tumah, meaning he says, I'd like to use it as a mat, as a spread. That would make it now susceptible to tumah. However, v'shel abdan, for a tanner that tans his hides and then sells them on, we say, ein machshava metamatan, the machshava alone does not make it susceptible to tumah. That is because, despite the fact the tanner might say, I like to use this as a mat, he's likely to change his mind because he's selling these items. And therefore, he might want to sell them for the production of shoes. And in that situation, it's quite far from a complete object that would not be susceptible to tumah. So what I've explained to you is the opinion of the Bartanura. The Kati cites also the opinion of the Mishnah Achrona, that he explains that it's not the way of an Uman, a craftsman, to start using the Kalim for his own use that is likely to sell. That is because he's scared that he'll end up damaging them and they won't be able to sell them. And that's why they're not yet susceptible to tumah, because once again, he might sell them for a different purpose than he decided to use it for himself, and therefore it's not susceptible to tumah. The Mishnah continues, Shel Ganav Machshava Matamatam, Shel Gazlan in Machshava Matamatam. So to appreciate this Mishnah, we have to understand the difference between a ganav and a gazlan, or a thief and a robber. A ganav is an individual who steals under the cover of darkness. The victim doesn't know generally who the thief is. But when it comes to a gazlan, a robber, he confronts his victim, usually taking the item by force, and the identity of the robber is known. So the Mishnah says, the hides that have been stolen by a thief, by a ganav, then machshava matamatan, then his intention to use it for a particular purpose, say as a spread or a mat, that would make it acceptable to tumah. Why? Because the assumption is, since it was stolen under the cover of darkness, there will be what's called yi'ush. If you remember this from Seder Nezikin, what that means is the owners will generally give up hope of ever retrieving it. They don't know who stole it, they feel they've got no way of recovering it, and therefore once you've got yi'ush, I mean, he's giving up hope, it effectively becomes the property of the ganav, and therefore the machshav is effective. However, when it comes to a gazlan, since he knows the identity of the robber, he is unlikely to give up hope immediately. He will want to try and recover that which was stolen from him. So therefore, even if the gazlan says, oh, this hide I've stolen, I want to use it as a bedspread, it would not be susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Shimon, however, disagrees. Rabbi Shimon omer chiluf hadavrim, it's quite the opposite. Shel gazlan, if we're dealing with a thief who stole the hide, we say machshava metamatan. The machshava would make it susceptible to tumah. Why is that? That is because when it comes to a gazlan, since this gazlan, this is the case of the robber, confronted the victim, a thug of some sort, then the victim almost immediately gives up hope of ever retrieving it because he's scared to try and confront this person who has threatened his life and taken the hide. That's why in that case we assume there's immediate yush, and if the gazlan had machshava to use a particular purpose, then it's susceptible to tumah. However, v'shal ganav, meaning if it's the case of the thief, according to Rabbi Shimon, in that situation, ein machshava matamatan. Why? He says in the case where it's stolen under the cover of darkness, the owner doesn't immediately give up hope. He hopes that maybe I'll be able to identify it. Maybe the someone in the area saw someone running from my property or something like that. So he does not immediately give up hope because he thinks maybe I'll be able to retrieve it. So therefore, the hide of a ganav, the machshava that he applies to this hide, would not make it immediately susceptible to tumah. Those are the Mishnah today.